Greetings in Jesus' name to each one of you this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we've already been fed. We've already heard truths and seen you in special ways. And Lord, we just ask once again, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, I give you my lips. Lord, I give you my words and I ask that they would be yours. Speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a boy of about 10 or 11, my family had a large garden. And it was actually about this time of year, there was a memory of gardening that really started to... It's when gardening really grabbed a hold of me. I'm not a gardener right now. I don't have a garden. I live in the city. But at that time, it was the first year I was allowed to use the tiller. I was finally old enough that I could take that tiller and go down through the garden and it wouldn't throw me off. And fall had come. Everything was taken out of the garden. And it was a new garden, so my father thought it would be a good idea to plant a cover crop. And he said we were going to plant turnips. Now, I don't know how many of you like turnips. That's kind of what I thought. I didn't really like turnips. But a cover crop meant the whole garden was going to be tilled, and I got to do a big part of that, and I was excited about that. So we tilled up the garden. Then my dad took turnip seeds, and he just cast those seeds out across the garden, across the whole garden. And it was just a matter of days before this big square plot of ground that was brown, fine dirt was just green, sprouting with turnip plants. It was only a couple weeks, maybe 5 weeks or so, 6 weeks, I don't know, before those turnips were big 2, 3, even 4-inch turnips. And then we had a hard frost. We had also planted some other greens and other gardens, other plots throughout the property, and that hard frost just came through, and I thought that was the end. I thought, okay, now we're going to till the turnips under. But lo and behold, that frost was something that turned those turnips really sweet. We went out there and checked out the turnips. Sure enough, the frost made the leaves kind of wilt a little bit, and they didn't look as nice, but you could pull a turnip up, and it was really good. Now, my perspective of turnips changed that day. I don't know if before that I had eaten radishes and I thought they were turnips, or if I just had bad turnips, but all of a sudden I realized some turnips can be good. And there was not much more refreshing in those days. It was cool mornings, go out early in the morning and dig around and find a big turnip and pull it out of the ground. Even the big ones were really sweet. Just go wash it off, peel it with my pocket knife, and eat it. That was a really good way to start the morning, and it was a good way, from my perspective of turnips, to change. And now I have that memory of turnips that are really good. I'd like to take a minute and ask you to do something. Pull out a piece of paper and a pen. Maybe you don't have a paper and pen. Maybe you need to write it down on your phone, or maybe you need to write it in your Sunday school book. I don't know. I want to just take a moment and ask you to write down one thing that's a difficulty for you right now. Maybe there's a challenge you're facing in your life. Just take a minute and pause. Think, what is one of the most difficult things I'm facing right now? Just write that down. The subject that God has put on my heart this morning to share about is dying or planting. Is what you're facing just dying, or is there planting? This is a subject that God has been working a lot in my heart, in my wife and I's hearts. Dying, or is it planting? Let's turn for our scripture to John chapter 12. I'm going to read several verses. John chapter 12, verses 20 to 28. I'll start reading. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. How do you see the trials in your life? Maybe the thing you just wrote down, or maybe it's something else that you've faced in the past, or other things that you're facing right now, but how do you see those trials? How do you see those difficulties that you're facing? How can we look at the trials and difficulties that come our way, that we go through, in a hope-filled way, in a way that keeps our heart encouraged? That when we see that we go through this deep trial, our heart doesn't go all the way down with us, but we have a hope that we're holding on to. How can we be there? How can we do that? This is what is on my heart this morning. These two Greeks, they came to Jesus. Now, I don't know who these two men were, but somehow they had heard about Jesus. They came up to worship at the feast. They were religious Greeks. Doesn't say they were proselytes. It still says they were Greeks, so they weren't converted to Judaism. But they had seen something, and they were interested. And somehow they knew that Jesus and his disciples had come down from Galilee, and they were there worshiping at the feast as well. So he went and looked for someone, and he saw Philip. He said, Philip, that's someone who's been with Jesus. And he said, Philip, we want to see Jesus. And Philip must have been a little surprised. He didn't take them right to Jesus. He went and found Andrew. And said, Andrew, these two men want to see Jesus. And the two of them went to Jesus and said, Jesus, there's some Greeks who want to see you. What was Jesus' response? Jesus said, you've come at a good time. It's like, you've come right at the moment when the Son of Man is going to be glorified. You've heard about Jesus. I don't know, maybe those Greeks, they had heard about the miracles that Jesus was doing. Maybe those Greeks had someone in their life who needed healed. Or maybe they had a pain in their heart that they needed healed, or a miracle, or just they saw something that was drawing them, and they wanted more. They wanted a deeper revelation of Jesus. So they come to Jesus, and then he starts talking about dying. He says, yes, you've come right at the right time to see Jesus. In fact, now is the time that God is going to be glorified. The Son of Man is going to be glorified at this time. Why did Jesus start talking about death? when these two Greeks wanted to come and see him. Now, I don't know what was going through their minds. If I was one of those two Greeks, I think my mind would be reeling a little bit. Like, wait, this doesn't sound like what we've been hearing. We've been hearing these good things about Jesus. We've been hearing stories of people's lives being miraculously changed. And now it's like a corn of wheat falling into the ground, this death. But that's what Jesus spoke to them when they came. This is the moment that Jesus said is going to be the most glorious moment of the Son of Man. This is when the Son of Man will be glorified. And then he said, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you need to follow me. Where I am, where the Master is, there his servant's going to be. And he started talking about his death. We didn't read it all, but later on he's talking about the way he was going to die. And the people were just wondering, why are you talking about your death? Aren't you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? It didn't make sense that Jesus all of a sudden started talking about glory and death right at the same time. That death didn't look easy to Jesus. Just like it might have made confusion come into the mind of those Greeks, it wasn't just something that was naturally appealing to Jesus either. He said, really, what should I say? Should I say, like my flesh wants to, my heart and my soul want to say, God, deliver me. Father, deliver me from this hour. But no. It's actually this death. This hour is why I came. This death is why I came to this hour. My prayer rather is, Father, be glorified. I see a picture of humanity in this story. Picture of you and me. Maybe not all of us are in the place of those two Greeks, but maybe we were at one point in our lives. We're two people. We're a person. We're someone who's come to Jesus, and we have a desire. We want to see more. We've gotten a glimpse of Jesus and we say, I want to see more. I've heard about this Jesus and I want to see more of him. We find somebody that knows him, walks with him and says, we say, Philip, we want to see Jesus. Sometimes I think we're hit with the same confusion that might have been filling the minds of these two Greeks when we realize some of the answers that Jesus gives. We say, I want to see Jesus. And all of a sudden we see pain and dying in our lives. And we ask, why? This doesn't sound like the Jesus I was hearing about. What's going on now? Why this? Where is the glory of God that I was hearing about? Where is this great life that I was expecting to have whenever I came to see Jesus? I want to propose to you this morning a change of perspective. Is it dying or is it really planting? You know, Jesus used the illustration of a grain of wheat. I brought two little pictures here just to sort of be a prop. Something that maybe we can stick in our minds. A graveyard. Or seeds. And when you look at your life, and most specifically the trials that you face in your life, do you see a graveyard? Or do you see a field with seeds planted? A field that has been prepared for, and it's ready for those seeds to be thrown out. It's ready for all that dying that has to take place, for those new little plants to burst out of the ground. How do you see your life? How do you see the trials in your life? Is it dying? Or is it planting? You know, I talked about turnips and the story of all those seeds that we cast out into the garden. And to me, at that age, all I was thinking about was, yeah, I was hardly even thinking about the little plants growing. This was just a cover crop. This was just to help the garden through the winter. But there was a lot happening. Those seeds got thrown out. They were decaying. And then they started to sprout. Jesus said, except a grain of wheat, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it's just a grain of wheat. If it doesn't fall into the ground and die, it's just a grain of wheat. It can sit there on the shelf month after month, year after year, and nothing will happen to it. It won't produce any fruit. But he said, if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. Is there a perspective change? Are we just seeing this is dying, death after death in our lives? Or is there something more? Is it actually death that is giving place to these little seeds to sprout up? There was something interesting. The other reason I chose the story of the turnips, it stood out in my mind, was they kind of went through a second death. Those turnips were just big masses of, in my opinion, bitter starch. But another death came along. This was the death of freezing. They got a hard frost down to 25 or 24 degrees. And it just all but killed those plants. And they went into emergency mode, and somehow all the starches, or I don't know how all it works, but some of the starches started converting into sugars. And that turnip turned into something that's sweet and able to be enjoyed rather than just taken as a medicine. What about the dying in your life? What about the freezing in your life? Is it turning those starches into something sweet? Is it turning those things in your life that are bitter into something sweet? Are you embracing that dying and allowing it to have that work? Or is it something that in your mind is just another tombstone, another marker of a death that I've had to endure? Here's one more area in my life that I've had to undergo dying. Why did Jesus say, if you're going to follow me, you need to come after me? If you love your life, you're going to lose it. But if you hate your life in this world, you're going to find it. Jesus was lifting out a principle, a mystery in God's Word. The mystery that dying brings forth life. We see this principle all throughout God's Word. All throughout Jesus' teaching, before life comes death. I had to think of planting. For many years, I understood planting as just a fun time. And I think it should be that way. I remember going out in the garden, and the peas was one of the first things that we would plant. And we'd make these long rows and drop the peas in the ground. And we were all excited because we wanted to see if it was going to be 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, or a week before the peas came shooting up out of the ground. We dropped them down in the ground. And it was so exciting because just days later, you'd see these little shoots coming up out of the ground, just poking through the soil. And it wasn't a sad time at all for us. We were planting seeds. We were hopeful of the harvest that was coming. Did that change the perspective of the dying that needs to take place in our lives for those little shoots to come up out of the ground? Maybe you feel yourself being dropped into the dirt and you're feeling that dying. You know, there are some cultures where planting isn't that joyful. It's not those same feelings that I had of just the excitement of these little plants are going to come up out of the ground. Anyways, the peas that we're dropping into the ground or the corn or whatever it is, it's not something we could eat anyways. It's covered in poison to keep the bugs and stuff off. It's just these wrinkly kernels. In some countries, the seed that they're dropping in is precious. It's something that they really wish they could turn around and eat. Maybe they've gone down to one meal a day or two meals a day just so they could plant that seed. But even in those times, they're not having a funeral for each seed that they drop into the ground. They're doing it in faith. This seed is going to bear fruit. I'm going to let go of this seed. I'm going to let it drop into the ground. And it's going to be no more use to me. I can't go back out there in 2 days and get it. I can't go 2 weeks later and say, no, I wanted that seed. I want to gather those back up and eat them. They did it in faith. This is going to bear fruit. Why did Jesus use the example of planting a seed? You and I face dying in our lives. How is that the same as a seed? How is the dying in our lives like planting that seed, dropping that seed into the ground? And Jesus said, if it doesn't drop into the ground, it's just a seed. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. As we see it, when we see the trials that we're going through, we see there's dying that we need to go through. And we don't see it as just dying, but we see it as planting. I'm planting seeds. There's dying. Yes, there's dying going on, but somehow there will be life that springs up out of this dying. What does the dying look like? Is it dying to self? Maybe it's dying to reputation. Maybe it's dying to a dream that you have. Maybe it's dying to having it your way in something that would have been okay to be done that way, but you need to give that up. Maybe it's dying to getting that full night of sleep. How did Paul face these things? What kind of dying did he face? He actually makes quite a list of dying in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 9. He goes, the verses around that, he goes through a list of things that he'd gone through, difficulties, necessities, all these beatings and loneliness and towards the end, he says, and dying. But he doesn't stop there. He says, dying, but behold, we live. He saw something beyond the dying. He saw all these things and saw there's a purpose for him. These are bigger than just facing a knee. These are bigger than just being beaten almost to death. There's a life. Yes, it's dying, but behold, we live. My desire for me and for each one of us this morning is that we get a faith that rises in our hearts. a faith that will take us through that time of being under the dirt. I don't know how many of you feel like you're under the dirt this morning. You're in a time where some of the seeds of your life, some of the things in your life have dropped into the ground, and you have yet to see those shoots come up out of the dirt. Maybe you're at that place. I'm sure each one of us has been at that place at some time or other, and we're at that place in different levels. Many of us could probably look at some point of our life, maybe even the thing that you wrote down this morning, and there's dying going on. You wish that thing could be removed out of your life. You wish you didn't have to face that. Could it be there's dying there that is going to bring forth life? In the last year and a half, my wife and I have faced a lot of dying that we didn't expect. Starting with losing our son just a little over a year and a half ago. And then it seemed like we just faced dying after dying. We went to Ghana and had terrible sickness with some of the people on the team. And it was really, really difficult for my wife. And then she got malaria twice and I got malaria once. And we came back to the States at the beginning of, or the end of last year, just feeling really worn thin. And for me, I think the biggest part of dying was I thought we had taken steps to prepare for this. I thought that we had done what we needed to do to be at least somewhat prepared to face these things that we knew were going to come our way as we stepped out into working on the mission field. And as we grappled with my wife's sickness and emotional, pretty much worn out, very close to burnoutness, just felt like that vision that I felt like was from God of working in a certain part of the world just was dying. It felt like unless God did a miracle, there was no way we would ever be in that place. There's no way those desires and visions and dreams in our hearts would ever be fulfilled. And throughout the past 8 months, 12 months, it's just been a time of dying. Allowing that just to fall into the ground and die. And you know what, brothers and sisters? I haven't seen the life yet. I've seen some of it. But what I have seen excites me, and that's the verse that Jesus spoke. He said, "But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." I'm willing to let go. I'm willing to let those things fall into the ground and die because I know that if it dies, it will bring much fruit. Somehow Jesus said that it was going to be these things that glorified God. Somehow God was going to be most glorified. There was the most fruit going to come from the dying that was about to take place. He was pointing to the cross. He was heading to the cross, but he was also inviting anyone who was going to be his disciple, who would obey him, who would follow him, to join him on that journey. Fall into the ground and die. Lose everything. Where are you at this morning? How do you view what you're facing? Is it faith-filled planting? Do you see those trials in your life as a handful of seeds that can drop into the ground and die? But they're not going to just die. They're going to bring forth much fruit. I have a little packet of turnip seeds here. Stopped by a hardware store. And I saw those and I was like, that's what I'm getting. I'm going to get those turnip seeds. Because it reminded me of of the story of the turnips that I just told you earlier. But the interesting thing is, if I would take and open this packet of turnip seeds and show you one of those seeds, it would in no way resemble the picture they have. Now, are they lying? Here they have a picture of a big red and white turnip. And you go in there and buy this, you open it up, and all you get is a little shriveled up seed. But somehow we allow them to do that. We go in and buy seeds and allow people to do that to us. Just to show us turnips and go buy these little shriveled up seeds. Or show us carrots. Or show us corn. We go in and buy these little shriveled up seeds. And we have the faith to believe that if that's what we get and we drop it into the ground and bury it, let nature destroy it. We have the faith to believe that out of it is going to come something that will look like what is on the picture. Something that's beautiful. Something that tastes good and gives life. Do we have that kind of faith, brothers and sisters, for our Christian lives? Do we have that kind of faith to buy the packet? What's on the packet looks good, but to open it up and realize that what's inside involves a lot of dying. In fact, there's going to be a long time where that seed is down under the ground before it ever pokes up. And then it's going to poke up and there's going to be a lot of growing before it ever amounts to anything. And then sometimes there's going to be a hard freeze. It's going to all but kill that before the sweetness of the fruit can be enjoyed. Do we have that kind of faith, brothers and sisters? Say yes. It's not dying. It's planting. What I'm going through right now, this isn't just one more grave to set in my big field of tombs. One more marker in my life of the misery that I've gone through and the trials. Yes, it's another marker of those trials. But instead, we see a field ready to be planted with seeds. We see a field with fruit just coming out of the plant, ready to be harvested. I'd like you to look at your life in that way this morning. Think about what could look like a bunch of graves in your life. And then think about it from the perspective that these aren't graves. These are opportunities for fruit. You know, we can run from dying. Jesus said he could have called 12,000 angels to deliver him from the dying that he was going to face. But his soul said, "My soul is grieved. Am I going to say, God, deliver me from this hour?" But he said, no. It's what I'm going to face. That's the whole reason I came to this hour. This dying that I'm about to face in this time. It's the whole purpose for which I came to this hour. And God is going to be glorified through it. Let's embrace those times of dying. Not because they're fun, not because they make us feel good, but because we have a hope. We have a hope that if that seed falls into the ground and dies, it will bring forth fruit. It will bear much fruit. I've looked around many times and I've seen people whose lives seem like they faced so much. They went through such deep trials. And even me just looking on, I said, Lord, why? Why is it? But then time and time again, you look afterwards. Maybe even just a couple months down the road. Maybe it's a couple years or many years down the road. You look at that person. You say, where do they have the depth of life that's coming out of them? Where did they get the joy that you see on their faces? I think it's very connected to their willingness fall into the ground and die. To go through those trials with a faith that sees fruit even while they're still under the dirt. Faith that sees that no matter what happens, something good will come of this. This isn't the end. It doesn't stop here. Life is coming, and I have God's Word to back me up. In James chapter 1, he tells us, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing." Perfect. Complete. Count it all joy. When you are in a time of deep trial, temptation, count it joy, because this is what's going to bring completion to your life. This is part of what God is going to use to perfect what is in your life already. I think it goes back to what Jesus said. Do you want to see God's glory? You want to see God glorified? You've come at the right time. The Son of Man is about to be glorified. He's about to fall into the ground and die. But if He dies, He will bring forth much fruit. I want to tell you this morning, if you're willing to, like that seed, fall into the ground and die, you will bring forth much fruit. There will be great fruit that comes out of your life. There will be beautiful fruit that comes out of your life. And you won't stay under the dirt forever. You won't experience that death forever. That time will pass. And you'll come to a time of sprouts peeking up out of the ground. You come to a time of fruit in your life where you see that it wasn't just dying. It was just planting. It was planting seeds that would come out and turn into beautiful plants, which yielded wonderful, lovely, beautiful fruit. Take a minute to look at the trial that you're facing. I want you to ask God, "God, is there an area of this thing that I'm facing where You want to give me the faith that this is not just another tomb in my life? Tomorrow I'm going to go and erect another gravestone over this, celebrating this death. But rather, God, is this one of those times that You want me to see past this death? You want me to look ahead and see that there is a life on the other side of this? You want me to look ahead and see the fruit that's coming down the road?" Have faith, brothers and sisters. Have faith while you're under the dirt. Life will come. Can you say, "Yes, though I die, I will come forth with joyous hope. Though I'm falling in the ground, I'm not dying, I'm just being planted so that beautiful life can come out to the glory of God." Can you say with Jesus this morning, "Father, glorify Thyself"? You're looking at the dying that is still taking place in your life and you say, "Father, glorify Thyself. God, I don't understand this. If it was just me, I would get as far away from this dying as I could. But somehow You have a bigger purpose in this. Father, glorify Yourself in this." God will glorify Himself in our lives if we yield to Him. If we allow ourselves, like that little seed, to drop into the ground and die. The exciting thing is that we have hope. We have God's Word that tells us if we die, if we are willing to not run from that dying that's in our lives, but as we follow God and we face dying, to embrace it and say, Father, glorify Yourself. We have the promise that we will bring forth much fruit. Here's a poem that I would like to read that my wife wrote about a year ago. It's called The Little Seed. In the poem, the seed is speaking to himself, and when he says he said or talks about the other person, he's talking about the farmer. And at the end, there's a paragraph where the farmer speaks to the seed. So I'll read this in closing. I saw my life, a seed so small. I saw that I could waste it all if under soil I'd never fall and be a foolish seed. What good am I, preserved alone, with all potential to have grown, yet hiding in a box at home? Wise question of the seed. A seed must yield. To yield, he said, so I surrendered in this field, and under earth's damp surface sealed my very little seed. Down under here, it's dark and cold. The arms of death my life enfold. Yet I'm okay, or so I'm told, a dying little seed. I think my skin has split apart. Oh, what will happen to my heart? This death, oh please, will life soon start? A crying little seed. He told me this is how to grow. He said, to come up, you go low. But is it true? I want to know. The pondering of a seed. No, this moment, now I shall refuse to call this death, to call it lose, to call it birth is what I choose. A hopeful little seed. Because this is how to germinate. I shall His Word substantiate and yield, the yield to activate, the faith-filled little seed. I die, but look, I'm still alive. Above the soil, green leaves now thrive. It seems I die, but I survive. A wondering little seed. Yes, little seed, you didn't know how all this painful death would go. But since you trusted me below, 1,000 times your life did grow. And now to you, joy I bestow, my precious little seed. Brothers, let's count it all joy as we face those times of dying. Let's look past that and say, God, I know there's going to be life coming out of this. I'm not just going to see this as dying. There is planting, and your life will come forth. God bless you, brothers and sisters.
What did you write? The most difficult thing that you're facing right now. Maybe it's all joy right now and you didn't have anything to write. We're all sowing. We're all sowers, aren't we? And the beauty is that as we sow, we shall reap a like fruit. Therefore, it tells us in Galatians, let us not be weary And preceding, he's saying, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So don't be weary, brother or sister, in well doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Sometimes I get weary of the sowing when it seems so much like dying. What are you facing right now? What did you write? Maybe someone would want to share. Share a word of faith-filled testimony. That out of this death that I'm facing, life will come forth. You know, it can be hard to admit, it can be hard to acknowledge it, but when you said that, what is the most difficult thing you're facing? Just had to ponder a little bit. I thought, well, for me, it's dying to my self-will. Dying to my way. Wanting to be right. Dying to my reputation. But why do I want to hold on to that old reputation? That old my way. Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.